Hi, this is Frank Dunn reading for you from the Revere Journal. Today's edition, February 18th, on behalf of the Talking Information Center. Top stories, city hears issues about Harris Street reconfiguration. The RMV announces special Massachusetts 250 low number plate lottery. The AHTF, the Affordable Housing Trust Fund, approves application form for ADU loan program, and the council approves residential addition for the Cafe Bistro. Okay, let's start off with the Harris Street reconfiguration by Adam Swift. The pilot program to ease traffic congestion on Harris Street has raised concerns and questions from numerous nearby residents last week. City officials met with many of those residents at the public library here. These concerns, and begin to look at options looking forward. The last December, the city instituted a 90-day pilot program for Harris Street aimed at taking cut-through traffic off the road. Harris Street became a one-way road northbound from Winthrop Avenue to Sewall Street, and two left turn lanes were added to Revere Beach Parkway southbound, and one right turn was added to the Revere Beach Parkway northbound, a right turn slip lane from Route 16 to Harris Street was added. But many residents said the changes have led to increased traffic and congestion on the surrounding streets and frustrated drivers using private driveways and parking lots as areas to cut through traffic or turn around. That's not good. Last week's meeting, the city's planning and community development director, Tom Surowski, provided a brief history of how the pilot program came to be, as well as data that has been collected both before and after the pilot program began. However, Surowski was quick to note that the city was not putting all its eggs in the basket of the data that has been collected so far, and acknowledge the frustrations that have come with the traffic change. Skorowski received questions about both removing the pilot program altogether and returning Harris Street to its original two-way pattern, as well as the possibility of making all of Harris Street one-way. That'll fix them. The reason now to remove the two-way traffic from the stretch is to remove a five-leg intersection and make it a four-leg intersection, which theoretically should run a lot more efficiently, said Skorowski. I understand it doesn't. I hear you all loud and clear. I understand things aren't working the way they should. The data that has been collected shows that there should be improvements across the board at every intersection, Skorowski said. It obviously is not. I'm not trying to tell you that. I'm just trying to tell you to say that this is how it is supposed to be, he said. There are some tweaks that might improve it. If it doesn't, we are going to fix it, and I can commit to all of that. Skorowski said the situation is also made more difficult because MassDOT is involved with some of the roads involved. Some of the short-term fixes, he said, are on the table, include working with the MassDOT to tweak the traffic signal model based on updated data, targeted snow removal, and exploring long-term design tweaks such as neckdowns at Harris Street, a bus lane relocation at Beach Street, and further directional changes. In addition, the city and the state are working to expedite the Bell Circle slip lane that is part of a larger Bell Circle design project. Skorowski said the slip lane could help ease traffic and be in place by the fall. Council-at-Large Joanne McKenna suggested that the city create a working group to look at the Harris Street traffic issues that include some of the residents who have concerns. I want to remind everybody what happened when we changed Sigourney and Derby. We changed the directions of those streets. They experienced relief, but it was a nightmare for the surrounding streets, as said Ward 3 Councillor Anthony Colignandro. Now, we are experiencing that nightmare times three. Beach Street on both sides of Butler, Eustace, Sewell, Elm, Bixby, and all of it. And then you go up the other way. Everyone is trying to fight through and use all those streets as a cut-through now. Colignandro asked if the city was making the changes because MassDOT was already changing the intersection, or if it was a collaborative with the city. It's been talked about 13 years now in Revere. Mitigation work related to Suffolk Downs, said Skorowski. But so this predates HYM's involvement. That's the Suffolk Downs developer. This was taken as an opportunity to fix intersections that understood it's worse today. I get that. But it was bad before. There was an effort to improve the efficiency of the intersection. He continued, it's not working right now. But that's why they talked about it in 2013, 18, 19, 20, and 23. It's been a long discussion. Now, not in response to the HYM, but because it's an intersection that needed to be fixed. Skorowski said he wasn't in Revere at the time the discussions began, but said it is likely that the MassDOT played a role in the permitting process. I'm sure they inserted themselves and wanted to fix the intersection as well, he said. Council approved the residential addition for Capri Bistro. Adam Swift was the author of this one. The City Council approved plans for an 8-unit micro-apartment project on a North Shore Road at the meeting this week. Last week, Claudia Gallego, the owner of the Capri Bistro at 1559 North Shore Road, is looking to add two floors to the existing building to allow for the construction of 8 one-bedroom apartments. Council at Large Michelle Kelly cast the vote against approval of the project, citing the capital rate. The rapid rate of the development of apartment units in the city during the zoning subcommittee meeting before the regular council meeting. Several vote councillors spoke in favor of the project, including Ward 2 councillor Ira Novoleski, not noting that the project would provide opportunities for a Revere resident and business owner. The addition would comprise of 3,000 square feet and contain 8 small transit-oriented apartments, said project attorney Nancy O'Neill. So this addition would not alter the building's footprints. The proposal is simply to build up using the same base dimensions as the existing restaurant. The restaurant will remain in operation, she added. The proposed building is exactly the type of building that you want to see in this neighborhood, said O'Neill. This is a mixed use building with a Revere resident small business on the first floor. The top two floors would contain transit oriented apartments. The property is located about 800 feet or a 3-minute walk from the MBTA Revere Beach station. So residents here will be utilizing the train, and there will not be a parking impact. Novoselsky, that's a different pronunciation, I think is the right one, noted that the site is close to his own. I know the location very well. I know the history of the building, and the height will not exceed the height of the neighborhood and the adjacent neighbors. It will be the same height, said Novoselsky. I think it is a good fit for the neighborhood, and I haven't heard anything against it. Kelly said she understood that the project has a modest unit count, but said she could not support it. Still, the biggest concern I hear from residents is no more apartments. They don't want any more apartments in the city. They feel that we have enough, said Kelly. For me, this is a cumulative effect on the city and the neighborhood, in particular with congestion. Kelly noted that in the past several months alone, the zoning board has approved over 260 units in the city. For me, it's just about being at the point where enough is enough in terms of apartments, said Kelly. I'm for a reasonable development, townhouses, single families, but people on a path to home ownership, put people on a path to home ownership and on the path to building wealth. Some promotions at the police department. Matt Leslie, George Romero received promotions. Matt Leslie was promoted to Revere Police Lieutenant, and George Romero was promoted to Revere Police Sergeant during an impressive ceremony on February 13th in the City Council Chamber. City Clerk Ashley Melnick administered the oaths of office to the two outstanding officers before an audience of RPD officers, city and state officials, family, friends, and members of the community. Mayor Patrick Keefe delivered the opening remarks. Leading the group in the Pledge of Allegiance, he offered his personal congratulations to the newly promoted officers and their families. We've seen a dynamic shift in our leadership at the police department, noted Keefe. It has always been a very, very solid organization. I can tell you that I'm very proud of what we've seen just in the short 2.5 years that I've been able to help lead the city. I'm very proud to be able to lead side by side with people like Chief Callahan and now Chief LaVita, who have done an exceptional job. Crime is down. Confidence is up, and the level of professionalism with integrity that our police department bestows upon our entire city is through the roof. It has not gone unnoticed. Chief Maria LaVita Loca said in her remarks that she's extremely proud of the Revere Police Department, not just, of course, the two men who are being honored and promoted today, but in general, the pride, integrity, and commitment that I've seen throughout the ranks. The Board of Trustees of the City's Affordable Housing Trust Fund, AHTF, held its regular monthly meeting last Wednesday, February the 11th, in the City Council Chamber. On hand for the session were Chair Joseph Gravelise, Treasurer Anya Oneski, and fellow board members Dean Harris, Matt Wolfer, Deb Frank, and Layla, I think that's how you pronounce her name, Pietri. Oneski presented the treasurer's report. He said the HTF has a balance in its account of $882,000. Usuki also noted that the trust earned $3,400 in interest over the past month and expended $10,000 for the first-time home buyer down payment program. Gravelise reported that the application form for the city's accessory dwelling unit ADU program, the loan program for which the HTF will provide the funding, has been fine-tuned and should be ready to go live shortly. The program aims to provide loans at a 0% interest rate for the construction of an ADU to homeowners who agree to rent their unit at 100% of the area median income, AMI, more acronyms, for a period of 5 years. The loans are forgivable at a rate of 20% per year, and ultimately entirely forgiven after 5 years, as long as the owner complies with the program's guidelines. After the members reviewed the application form, they voted unanimously to approve it. Gravelis said he anticipated it would be available on the city's website by this Wednesday. The board next took up an application, Suffolk Community Services, for the water funds for NO period Suffolk's completed housing project on Hisborne Street, the Hisborne Street. No, Suffolk does wonderful work in the community, and their project on Hisborne Street is terrific, but I suggest that we not vote in favor of this, said Gravelis. I don't think we should set the precedent by providing backfill funding for projects that are already completed and open and that already have received the financing they need. I understand that funding from us could help offset some of the debt they've taken on, but ultimately, I would rather reserve our funding for projects that have unmet funding needs. The project is incredibly worthy, and North Suffolk is a great organization, but I'm just not comfortable setting a precedent of going backwards to fund something that's already open, Gravelis added. Both Wolfer and Harris voiced support for Gravelis' position after Gravelis made a motion to turn down the application. The members voted unanimously to reject it. Gravelis said he will inform Northern Suffolk of the board's decision, but will make them aware that the AHDF would be supportive of the group's future projects. Gravelis next discuss briefly the proposed federal guidelines that will make it more difficult for families to receive supporting housing support in the event they become homeless. He suggested that the board may want to consider offering support to families with children in the Revere school system. Harris, who is the executive director of the Revere Housing Authority, noted that the problem is that at any given time, there is generally limited housing available on an emergency basis, not only in Revere, but statewide. Gravelis said this is a topic that the HTF will look into in the coming months. Frank reported that there will be a fair for prospective first-time homebuyers on Saturday, February 28th from 10 to 2 at the Clark Middle School in Chelsea. She said officials from Chelsea, Revere, and various state agencies, as well as local real estate agents and other vendors, will be on hand to offer information to new home buyers. The board then adjourned until the next meeting in March. Keith appoints Stamatopoulos as mayor's executive assistant. Revere resident Leanne Stamatopoulos has been appointed the executive assistant to Mayor Patrick Keefe. Stamatopoulos began in the key position in the mayor's office on January 5th this year. She succeeded Linda DeMeo, who had retired from the post. Mayor Keefe and Linda had approached me about my potential interest in the job, said Stamatopoulos. I'm excited and honored to be part of the city, of the mayor's team at the city hall, and to have the opportunity to serve and contribute to the community. 20 years ago, Stamatopoulos worked in the Revere school system as a speech therapist. She left her job to raise my kids. So she has worked in positions in retail at Nordstrom, at Restoration Hardware, RH, for 15 years combined. A lifelong Revere resident, Stamatopoulos grew up in Revere and graduated from Revere High in 1997. She attended Northeastern University, where she met her future husband, John Stamatopoulos. She received her degree in communication disorders from Salem State University. I really didn't think that I would be living in Revere after I graduated from college, said Stamatopoulos. I had envisioned that I was going to live in New York City or Boston proper, and that John, when John and I had our kids, And honestly, we felt that Revere was a great place to raise our family. The proximity to Boston, all the other amenities of Revere, and I can't say enough about our school system. Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Diane Kelly, was in fact my math teacher at Revere High. I was in one of her first classes when she came to Revere High from Savio. John and Leanne Stamatopoulos have three children. And here's the top of the page. Bella, a 2024 Revere High graduate who is a sophomore on the pre-law track at Center College in Kentucky. Gemma, a senior at Revere High, and Costa, a sophomore at Revere High. Interestingly, Bella, who is majoring in politics, was an intern last summer with Claudia Correa, chief of staff in Mayor Keefe's office. Followers of Revere High Sports will immediately recognize John and Leanne's daughter, Gemma's name, and her grand and scholarly portfolio. She is arguably one of the high school's most outstanding athletes of all time, breaking several RHS records in track. She also qualified for the Nationals in the 600 and in the relay. Gemma's future is exceedingly bright, having received a prestigious Posse Foundation scholarship to attend Union College, a highly regarded liberal arts school in Schenectady, New York. The reigning Greater Boston League MVP in field hockey and track, Gemma will be continuing her athletic career at Union. She amazes me. You tell her she can't do something, and then she goes after it, said Leanne proudly. Welcome to a stellar leadership team. Leanne becomes a member of the mayor's team in the corner office that includes chief of staff Claudia Correa, communications associate Tyler Giuff Catalano, and aide to the mayor, Rose Burns. I'm also impressed by the team Mayor Keefe has assembled, said Stamatopoulos. I have so much to learn from them. It has been such a great experience thus far. Everyone at City Hall has been amazing. Keefe said that Stamatopoulos has been an asset to the administration since her arrival a month ago. Leanne has already shown her eagerness in the role, and in using her years of experience multitasking on the private sector, said Keefe. She is a customer service driven while maintaining the core communications of the office with decorum and respect. Stamatopoulos recalled how impressed she was about meeting Keefe and his wife Jennifer during the mutual volunteer work in the Revere Pop Warner football and cheer organization. Keefe was elected as a Ward 4 counselor and served as acting mayor for 6 months before being elected to a 4-year term as mayor on November 7th of 2023. Looking back at the point in her life, right after college, she was considering a move to a larger metropolitan city. Stamatopoulos ordered, staying in Revere and raising my family here was one of the best decisions we ever made. I'm so amazed at how far our city has come through the years. Life is about a series of decisions, Leanne Stamatopoulos believes. Her a decision to leave the field of retail and accept a position in the mayor's office was the right call. I'm really pleased, happy, and reassured that I made the right decision, said Stamatopoulos. Here's the next story about the MGH Community Caravan. The Revere Commission on Disabilities, the COD, held its monthly meeting last week on the 10th. On hand was Ralph DiCiccio and others. The guest speaker was Jared Craig, a mobile operations manager for the Mass General Hospital's disabilities van. Craig said he oversees the community care van for the MGH, which is one of the three vans operated under the auspices of MGH and the Brigham and Women's Hospital and the Salem Hospital, providing coverage in Boston and the South and North Shores. He says the vans are clinically equipped, DPH licensed, and fully staffed. Our main goal is to help people bridge the gap from not having primary care and not being engaged with a doctor on a regular basis to having primary care, said Craig, who noted that the vans are available to individuals regardless of insurance status. It is a walk-in model and all are welcome. He said that the idea of the care vans is to move the front door of the hospital into the community, offering services such as blood pressure screenings, diabetes education and assessment, substance abuse disorder outreach and care, early cancer detection and screening from social determinants of health and connection to services. Craig said the new program that the vans have undertaken recently is screening for colorectal cancer by using the Cologuard test at a no cost to the individual, with follow-ups for colonoscopies if deemed necessary. Craig said that the MGH van will be at Revere High School on Tuesday, February 24th from 3 to 6, and on the fourth Tuesday of each month thereafter. Again, Tuesday the 24th of February from 3 to 6 in the afternoon, just show up, and on the fourth Tuesday of every month thereafter. There's an ad for Northeast Oil Delivery, 781-286-2602, $3.55 a gallon. Home heating oil, 100-gallon minimum, 24-hour service. Visit the website northeastoildelivery.com or call 781-286-2602. Frank Dunn reading for you on behalf of the Talking Information Center. Have a wonderful weekend, everyone.